Getting a good night's sleep can be much easier said than done, but don't worry because our good friends at CBDMD have exactly what you need to help you unwind and sleep harder than all-star voters slept on Bam Adebayo. Sleep PM bath salts fuse superior CBD and melatonin with a mixture of Epsom, Dead Sea, and Himalayan salts to turn any bathtub into a luxury spa experience and give you the relaxation that you so desperately deserve. And to make it even easier to relax, regroup, and recharge, they're offering all of our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code NBA, for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room, the live audio-only sports talk platform. It's free to download and use, where you can talk to me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. All you need to do is download the Locker Room app free in the iOS App Store, create a profile, link your Twitter account, and join the Warriors group. Follow me at WC Goldberg and be notified when my room goes live. We're going to be going live on Locker Room later this week. Come in and join me for some Warriors talk.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to a crossover edition of Locked On Warriors, where we are also talking with the host of Locked On Cavaliers. Going to be doing this periodically between now and the March 25th trade deadline, where we do these crossover episodes that are sort of like mock trade negotiations, conversations, phone calls, whatever you want to call them. So I get on the proverbial phone with Chris and Evan from Locked On Cavs. We go through some of the different players, some of the different machinations for potential trades. Really interesting, really fun. You got to get a sense of where the Cavs are, where the Warriors are in their own trade needs and priorities. And ultimately, we do come to a conclusion on a potential trade package that can work between the two teams. Enjoy.
Hey, Chris Manning here from Locked On Cavs, joined as always by my co-pilot, Evan Damrell. But we have another special guest. Or if you're listening on the Locked On Warriors feed, we're the special guest who have hijacked the opening of this podcast. It's Wes Goldberg from Locked On Warriors, also Locked On NBA. Wes, how you doing, buddy?
I'm great. Happy to talk some draft or some trade stuff. Not draft stuff quite yet. I'm sorry, I'm still in the mode of talking draft for 7 months.
I mean, if Bob Myers wants to send the Cavs the Wolves pick for Jetty Osman, like we could arrange that. Like that's fine, you know. Like I think Kobe Altman will say yes to that if Bob wants to go down that route, you know.
You're negotiating the correct way, right? You set the price first at some astronomically high level, and then we try to go down from there.
Yeah, that's very fair. But we're doing all trade stuff today. This is a Cavs Warriors trade kind of crossover thing here. We're getting very close to the trade deadline. Things are heating up, and I think there's some business to be done between these two teams. I think there is some stuff that we can kind of hash out here, and you know we won't get a commission or anything, but you know I think there's work to be done here.
I think both teams have some things that either team would be interested in, right? I think Cleveland has a dearth of big man that could be helpful to the Warriors. There's some interesting other bit players, and I think the Warriors have some players that I think could be really helpful for Cleveland, like Alan Smilegeach and et cetera. So, you know, we can exchange some names, do what it is that these GMs so often do, right? You just get on the phone. It doesn't have to be these trade talks that are reported by Woj and Shams, but just, hey, what do you think about this guy? What do you think about that guy? We start there. And then maybe go into some more machinations of actual trades.
Okay, Wes, so what do you think of Andre Drummond? Do you think he's a great fit for the Warriors? Chris and I do. He's a real stretch five threat. He could really make a five-out offense for your team. So the floor is yours.
I actually thought about Andre Drummond in the context of that salary is almost a perfect match for Andrew Wiggins' salary. And I know Cavaliers fans have been pining over Wiggins ever since you let him get away.
Pining is an aggressive word, sir.
There's a certain Canadian Cavs fan who's especially pining for him. Who shall not be named. He's the other Voldemort of this podcast.
Well, in that context, I thought that he would be an interesting thought exercise for the Warriors. But you can't do it. I know that Andrew Wiggins is getting paid a ton of money, but he's almost weirdly off the table unless you're able to get a clear upgrade at that position, only because if you move him for somebody that's on an expiring contract like Drummond, you risk losing that cap slot that you created after the sign-in trade for D'Angelo Russell, after Kevin Durant left and all those things. So weirdly, Andrew Wiggins is almost untouchable in addition to Steph Curry and Klay and Draymond to a certain extent. Those are kind of the guys who are untouchable. Do you have anybody who's basically untouchable in Cleveland?
I mean, I think to speak for Evan, tell me this is wrong, but I think it's the young guys. Like, I think it's Sexton. I think it's Garland. I think it's Okoro. I think it's Jared Allen. And I think we would put Larry Nance in that group as well. I think he's not, like, exactly in that guarded vault of guys in the same way the others might be, but he's close, and you'd have to, I think, overwhelm the team to get Nance out of Cleveland. Evan, is there anything untrue that I said there?
Excuse me. Let's start here. One, two. No, not at all. It'd be a PR nightmare if the Cavs traded Larry Nance Jr. It also would be one if they traded Colin Sexton, just because of how much they bump up Sexton's overall value around the league. But it also, we've talked about this before, Chris, it'd be remiss of Cleveland not to consider offers for these players as well. Like, Chris Fedor of Cleveland.com reported, and I've kind of gotten the same verification from sniffing around, that a team offered multiple late first-round picks for Larry, and Cleveland kind of said no dice because of just what they view him as a player both on and off the court. And he's a huge civic leader in the community as well, which is a huge thing as well. But, yeah, I think it's that core four plus Larry Nance are untouchable. But it's like you said, Wes, with which is still weird to think Andrew Wiggins is untouchable to me, but it makes
untouchable
sense.
Untouchable is strong. Yeah. It would have to be for an upgrade, right? You're not trading him for just, you know, others' bit parts.
Similar approach to Cleveland. Maybe come draft time, let's say Cade Cunningham, God willing, becomes available in the trade, I think the Cavs would have to consider offering up Darius Garland or Colin Sexton, or maybe even both if a team's really driving a hard enough bargain. But, yeah, it's just that four and Larry Nance. But if it's like a wow, blow-me-away offer, let's say – God, let's say like Damian Lillard or somebody's available. Yeah, the Cavs would be remiss not to throw the bag at Portland and try and get him, because let's also say Dame wants to come to Cleveland. That's the other stipulation too, is a lot of superstars aren't willingly coming here. If they say, I want to come to Cleveland, the Cavs would open up the vault for them.
Yeah, so I'm looking at your roster here, and I understand why Larry Nance, like, hometown, kind of folk hero, all that stuff. If what it's going to cost is multiple first-round picks, the Warriors simply don't have that. Like, the only first-round pick the Warriors can trade right now is this Minnesota pick that's owed to them. Other than that, you know, all, if not most, of their first-rounders are pretty much unable to be traded right now. James Wiseman, I think, could be made available if it was for the right player, right? If it was the Damian Lillard type of superstar, but Cavaliers don't have that player. So for all intents and purposes, James Wiseman is off the table as far as these negotiations go. So when I look at your roster, I look at a guy like Chetty Osman. I was looking at Larry Nance, but I understand you know, the price might be too steep. But Chetty Osman to me is the guy. JaVale McGee could have some interest, and I wouldn't mind maybe getting a shot at Matthew Dellavedova, who's on an expiring contract, because the Warriors have a need for a backup point guard.
The thing with Deli is just that he had an appendectomy, and he hasn't played because of a concussion. So I don't think, if you're getting him...
Oh, see, I haven't watched the Cavaliers at all, so...
Wow, that's fair. But he's been out, and I don't know if or slash when he's going to play, so I think you'd be... That's probably a...
So we don't want Matthew Dellavedova. Okay, fair enough.
No.
I would have given you the Minnesota pick for Dellavedova. You just messed that up.
Oh, Chris, way to go.
Wow. Sorry, Kobe. Can I tell you one guy that I think if I were the Warriors, I would maybe like be sort of interested in because he's cheap?
Yeah.
And like Damian Dotson. Not a great player, but like can shoot it a little bit. I think would be better like in a better team. Like I think if you are in a situation where like he can't like – try to like isolate when he gets the ball and like have a little heat check moment, I think you cut that stuff out of his shot diet, and I think he can be like an effective player, like as a 10th guy or 11th guy on a better team. I think, and he's really, really cheap, so I think he could be someone that like actually like on the fringes of a deal here, I think could be sort of like a sweetener if you're trying to match player numbers or match salary or whatever reason. It's not like a deal breaker one way or the other, I would say, but I think he's kind of like an, if the Cavs, like, I don't think he's obviously part of the long-term future. Yeah. And if a team was like, we'd like Damian Dotson to some extent, like I wouldn't be opposed to just saying, okay, here you go.
I like the Dotson fit there too, because like you said, he's a scorer, decent 3-point shooter, right? 36% from three. I'm looking at it now. Under contract for next season, but it's non-guaranteed. So if the Warriors need to make room on the roster, they can do so by just waiving him at no cost I would assume, I don't have the date here, but at some point early in the season. So, yeah, that's a guy who would be of interest. So we're looking at, you know, basically Damian Dotson, JaVale McGee, Chetty Osman, and, you know, whatever assortment of other young players need to be included in any sort of deal. As far as the Warriors roster is concerned, what are some things that you would be looking at?
Chris, do you want to take the floor, or do you want me to kind of float some names around?
I think for me, the guy that pops more than anyone else is Kelly Oubre.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that would be, that's I think, is Golden State's best trade asset right now. And a deal with a team like the Cavaliers, understanding that those top players aren't available, the Minnesota pick isn't really in play, and neither is Wiseman. So Oubre is the top guy available. I think guys also, you know, Brad Wanamaker, expiring deal, hasn't played well for the Warriors, but played well for Boston. I think it's not working in their system. Could be of use. You know, I think young guys like Jordan Poole and Eric Paschal, if you know, you guys are high on them and their upside for whatever reason. I'm actually pretty high on Jordan Poole, more so than Eric Paschal, but you know, those guys could also be included in a type of deal. But if the core of any sort of deal, if the guy we're talking about right now is Kelly Oubre, then that's probably the conversation we have, because I agree. I think he'd be a good fit for you guys in your roster.
Yeah, maybe we should get into that after our first break and dive into sort of the specifics of that, because I have Kelly Oubre questions that Wes can probably answer better than anyone else, so we'll be right back.
It's time to get in on Locker Room, the live audio-only sports platform where you can talk to me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. Perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to the breaking news. As you may know, I've been using Locker Room this season to host live mailbag episodes where I field questions about the Warriors on the app. It's sort of like an old-school sports radio call-in show, but easier than ever to join, hang out, and talk. Locker Room is a free audio-only social media platform for sports fans. Start or join ongoing conversations, watch games together, react to the biggest news, rumors, and games. I'll be hosting rooms every week, so make sure to keep those notifications on and come through. All you need to do is download the Locker Room app free in the iOS App Store, create a profile, link your Twitter account, and then join the Warriors or NBA group. Follow me at WC Goldberg to be notified when my room goes live. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets combat all forms of ED and can help men gain extra confidence for when it's time to perform. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part is that it's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers will work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problems here. Blue Chew's tablets are chewable, and their tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than at a pharmacy. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. We've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON, to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
Okay, Wes, so tell me, what has Kelly Oubre been with the Warriors? Because there was the thing earlier where he was missing a lot of shots. He's obviously, like, he cost them a bunch of money to bring in, sort of, you know, like with the via the trade exception. He's last year of his contract, so if you acquire him, if you're Cleveland, you sort of probably think, okay, like, maybe you want to try to re-sign this guy to a fair contract. So, like, what has he been? What has worked? What hasn't? Like, what's kind of the vibe with him?
Look, streaky shooter, but that's always been the case with him, right? That's not surprising. You ask a Wizards fan, a Suns fan, a Warriors fan, they'll all say the same thing. So, but can put up points. I mean, this is one of those guys where he's the level of player, and he's so active and he's so aggressive at all times, where even when he's having an off night, he still ends up with 12 points, which that's a skill in today's NBA. That's not an easy thing to do. Crazy athlete, super long, gets a bunch of deflections. He's been awesome for them defensively. And you, I think, appreciate that energy, that relentlessness that he brings to the court all the time. That's a good thing for a team in the middle, in a playoff chase, in a regular season, in the dog days of those seasons. Those sorts of players have value, and I think that's what has endeared him to the Warriors coaching staff and front office and their and his teammates. He's, you know, the shooting slump notwithstanding, he's actually been really nice for the Warriors, I think. And there's a reason why they are considering bringing him back, even though that he's going to be expensive. It's going to cost him a ton of money in luxury tax. But those kind of guys are just, they're hard to find. 3-and-D wings who can switch everything. If you look at a team like Cleveland who are trying to become a better defensive team and have that sort of presence on the perimeter, you already have Isaac Okoro there. Pairing him with Oubre, that's a nice little wing tandem defensively that you could sort of build around.
Wes, do you have an explanation for the shooting slump? Because I know maybe some Cavs fans hate watch the Warriors because Cleveland fans can never let things go, even though the Warriors think Cleveland is an afterthought at this point. But can you kind of explain why the shooting slump has happened with Oubre? Because I think that's going to be the biggest red flag for a lot of Cavs fans if this were to actually materialize in real life.
Well, there's two reasons. Number one, he's not that good of a shooter in the first place, so that's going to happen. And then number two, he had a really hard time figuring out the Warriors' offense, specifically playing with Steph Curry. Steph Curry gets a lot of praise for being able to space the floor and this great teammate and things, and all those things are absolutely true. But it's not as if he's easy to play with, and I only mean that because not that he's a bad teammate. It's just that he moves in such a way that a lot of these players have never experienced a superstar moving off the ball and the constant motion and all that stuff. They don't know how to play with those kind of guys. Most players grow up just playing a basic pick and roll offense where you flare to the corner unless you're directly involved in the play. And that is basically what Oubre has done his entire career. So early on, the first few weeks of the season, he was just like figuring out, okay, how do I just stay out of the way, right? He's just trying to figure out how he could just be out of Steph's path, and then everything else can come after that. And so he was never in a rhythm. He was never in his spots. He had a hard time getting to his spots. He's finally figured out how to play within that Warriors context and get to the looks that he wants to get, and that's why you've seen his shooting numbers pick up. So just a little matter of natural streakiness that he's always had, and the fact that the Warriors system is just not an easy one to grasp for a newcomer. That's what the main concerns there were early in the season. But like I said, he's definitely come along. He's been one of their most reliable contributors now.
So let's go down this road with Oubre. So let's just say you do a deal for him. I think there's two sort of starting points you could go with. It's Jetty Osman plus JaVale McGee to make the math work, or it's Taurean Prince. Because I think unless you're throwing back a bunch of picks, Nance sort of isn't involved there. And again, like I think Nance is more valuable in some ways.
Yeah, and
so like, which one do you prefer? Like, if I'm saying like, okay, here's Jetty and JaVale or Taurean Prince, do you prefer one of those?
I would probably lean Jetty and JaVale only because I understand that Taurean Prince is under contract for next year. But I mean, who's been the better player between Prince and Osman?
Prince.
Oh, really?
Evan, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think Prince.
What's the sales pitch on Taurean Prince?
Well, to explain maybe Jetty's issues with Cleveland is he's the most irregular player on the Cavs roster. We call him peaks and valleys, where like he'll have a few good games, maybe one or two strung together, and follow that up with four or five abysmal shooting games where he is 0-5 from three, but he keeps jacking it up, and he provides a little bit of tertiary playmaking, and he's abysmal defensively, which is weird to think. And during his rookie season, he was considered a defensive prospect with LeBron in town. But on the flip side, Taurean Prince is just, he's kind of a steady option. He hasn't been healthy. He's been dealing with some nagging injuries. He had personal issues he was away from the team for. So he hasn't played a ton since coming to Cleveland with Jared Allen. But he plays defense. He can provide shooting. I think the Cavs not making him play the four and letting him play 2 through 4 in that bench unit, especially when he plays with Osman and Nance, like that gives the Cavs a lot of versatility off the bench as well. Even Okoro, if you throw him with the bench unit too. Prince is just a little bit more of a steady option. He's a little bit more complimentary defensively for Cleveland, but that's just the issue. But Jetty has a little bit of offensive upside, of course. I think his contract's crazy. Chris and I talk about how the fact that his agent got him a non-guaranteed year in the last year of his deal, and the Cavs are able to push that across the table and land that kind of option in the deal is still crazy. But I think it's just because he's a younger player. He's the same age as Kelly Oubre, and maybe if you put him in Golden State system, he looks a hell of a lot better because Cleveland doesn't really have an offensive system under J.B. Bickerstaff. But Prince is just a little bit more of a steady option. He just cannot stay healthy.
Right, and I think that would be the concern, because if you're the Warriors, what you're looking for is You're basically looking for your sixth and seventh and eighth guy next year, right? And I don't know that either Prince or Osmond could be that for what they hope to be a playoff team. And Oubre can be that, right? It's just a matter of whether or not they can re-sign him.
I think Osmond could be. I'm still like a believer in him to some extent because I think you see flashes of him almost every game where you're like, okay, like he's doing stuff that's like definitely helpful. Like he's got a little creative juice. He is willing to take threes when he's open and maybe sometimes when he's just kind of gunning it a little bit. There's not always like good defensive moments for him, but I think it, when he's like engaged and being aware, like he'll create some fast break opportunities. Like I think there's enough in him. I think he's one of those guys where I will not rule him out until I see him in like a better situation, and he's like has to play within a structure and his roles defined. And I think that would be Golden State, right? Like if it's Clay and Steph and Draymond and whatever next year, like Wiseman. He has to operate in the orbit, right? Like he can't freelance out of that in the way that he sort of can in Cleveland by virtue of the talent and the hierarchy of the team and everything, right? Like it is just a different situation. Mm-hmm. For him, and I think there's enough there where I think you can make him like your eighth, ninth guy on a team. I do.
Yeah, so I would lean towards Osmond just based on my own anecdotal experience in that my own personal scout. I like Osmond. I like the flashes of being able to create for himself that we've seen. He's obviously a better 3-point shooter than Torian Prince is, at least based on the percentages. So I like Osmond. I like the fact that his contract is the way it is. I like that he's actually under contract on a pretty decent deal that is tradable in the future, right? If you're the Warriors. So I think Osmond, if in exchange for Oubre, would be the core wing that I have to get back in return in order to lose Oubre. And then we're talking about the other bit part. So yeah, it could be JaVale McGee. I would be interested in hearing a Damian Dotson type deal, even though if you do Dotson and Osmond for Oubre, the Warriors would certainly do that because they'd save $4 million, but that would put the Cavs in a tough spot, I think, from a tax perspective, if I'm right. You guys are just only a little bit under the tax.
Yeah, but I think you could – there's probably ways to get out of it. Like, you'll probably move on from JaVale at some point anyway. I think there's ways to get around that, I would assume.
JaVale McGee is one of the more available players on Cleveland's roster just because ever since Jared Allen came back, the Cavs have prioritized the future, and I think – all they did was just get a second-round pick from the Lakers to take him on so the Lakers could sign Marc Gasol.
Yeah. So, all right. So that's a fair – so you get some other team involved. You unload JaVale McGee. And so with Osmond and Dotson, I think the Warriors would probably be seeking some sort of draft compensation in addition for Oubre because they've lost that first-round pick for Kelly Oubre. They'd probably be, my sense from the Warriors at least is if it's not an upgrade at the Oubre in an Oubre deal, that they would be seeking some sort of draft compensation just because they just don't have that many draft picks right now.
And I think that's a fair offer, especially considering Cleveland has three second round picks that aren't their own next year to kind of grease the wheels a little bit. And I know Kobe Altman is a general manager that likes to accumulate assets over time. So would a second-round pick do the deal for you, or would you have to try and maybe bump this up to a first?
I actually think that they would prefer – obviously, you're trying to get the first-round pick, and I don't think they would want anything in this year.
No, 2022 is where they have three second – they have 3 seconds in 2022, and they actually have Golden State's in 2023 and 2024. So there's a little bit of flexibility the Cavs have with some of their second-rounders.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the second-rounders you have, it's the San Antonio, the Washington, the Houston one in 2022.
Correct.
That Houston pick in 2022 might be kind of nice. I don't know. I would imagine that the negotiation would start with a protected first-round pick somewhere down the line. The Warriors traded a top 20 protected first for Oubre. I would imagine they would try to get something back similar to that.
Okay, I think that's interesting. All right, let's take one more break. We'll be back to finish up this little trade discussion right after this.
We've been telling you about Built Bar, the best-tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing-tasting protein bar covered 100% in real chocolate. And now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It is time for Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup in the bracket is between salted caramel and cookie dough chunk. This one is really, really tough for most people, but not for me. It's easy, and it's salted caramel. I'm not a fan of cookie dough stuff in general. Like, that raw cookie, just bake it. Make it cookies. Why do people eat cookie dough? I never understood. Cookies are so much better. I love cookies. I don't like cookie dough. Cookie dough, there's so much potential there for greatness. Just be cookies. Salted caramel is amazing right away. It's actualized salt. It is caramel to its fullest potential. Salted caramel covered in chocolate. It doesn't get better than that. Salted caramel, you are moving ahead, at least in my bracket. What about yours? Go to BuiltBar.com or to bar_built on Twitter. Remember to, so that you can vote. And also remember to use that promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off on your next order. That's LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing. March Madness begins this week, and if you want to bet on those games, the best place to do it is at betonline.ag. Real-time updated odds, props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all of the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up today. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, head to that website or use your mobile device to sign up today, and you're going to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, but only when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
All right, last segment here. So I think, unless I'm putting this in the trade machine wrong, I think that Oubre for Osman plus Dotson, in its own doesn't work. So I think you need a third team to do that. And I think Brooklyn obviously would sort of make some sense.
Are you sure about that? Because I just put it in on a trade NBA and it gave me a success check mark for.
Well, I'm
Osman
on the ESPN trade machine. So.
All right, okay, Boomer, so why don't you upgrade to the future here?
Look, I just Googled it and didn't.
Evan,
just perpetually just harassing me on the podcast. Unbelievable. But
you got your one day in the sun when the Bobcats won, and now you go back to the shade.
Wes, here's my question about this. If you're the Cleveland side of this, right, and you're getting Kelly Oubre back, and you sort of know it's going to be expensive, and we've already talked about a little bit how, like, he's a good defender, and, like, you could him and Okoro is, like, a really interesting pairing in that sense. He could play the four a little bit too. I think you'd have to almost play him at the four a little more to kind of make it work. Do you do you think he's actually sort of like going to command? Like, is it going to be $20 million? Like, he's making 14.4 this year. Is he due for a bump? Like, where are we at with that?
I think he's going to get it's tough, right? Because we don't exactly know what the salary cap situation is going to be. I would imagine he's something around the same, and I think if you're a team trying to sign Kelly Oubre, you can entice him with a longer years, right? And maybe not so much money up front, but this is not a great free agent class, and it's especially short on scorers and guys who could put up 18, 19, 20 points per game. And so I think I think the Warriors are fearful that Kelly Oubre could end up commanding something like $18 to $20 million a season, and that's maybe the main motivation of trying to move off of him.
That's interesting.
I could be wrong. I don't know.
No, I think this would be a really interesting test case of what the Cavs think they are. That's where I think about this, because you're in a position with him and with your team where, like, you probably need to build through the draft more than anything else, but Oubre is really talented. If you could, like, do a little of the tampering that's not, like, the illegal tampering that, like, teams do in back channel, and, like, figure out if he'd be interested in signing with him. Because that's sort of, like, the thing. It's, like, you don't want to, like, maybe, like, it's worth it because, like, the Jetty thing, like, the vibes around that are sort of tough with him in the organization right now. Like, I think maybe, like, a breakup's probably good for everyone in that sense. But, like, I think it'd be interesting to see what they think of this as a concept, because I think the talent bet is really interesting, and the Cavs don't have, like, the cascade of picks coming in that, like, the New Orleans does, or, like, OKC does or whatever. Like, they're clearly, like, laying the foundation with the draft picks they've had, but, and, like, have some other futures later to do stuff with, but I don't think they're going to be, like, all in on the draft team as a roster building construction. Going after a guy like Oubre would just be really interesting in that particular sense to me. I don't know what you guys think of that, but I think to me would be like, okay, the Warriors obviously, like, save a little bit of money on the future. They're betting they can get something more out of Osman. You know, Dotson, as we sort of talked through him. The Cavs, it's like a talent bet, and it's sort of like a talent acquisition bet, and then you just kind of go from there. I think that's kind of interesting to consider if you're considering where Cleveland is at right now and what they've been.
Yeah, and I think from the Warriors' perspective too, you're obviously going, you're downgrading yourself this season in the immediate term for the hope that, just understanding that, yeah, you know what, let's try to save some money on this Kelly Oubre thing and accumulate some assets so we can actually maybe, you know, maybe Osman becomes that sixth man that we were looking for, and we're able to get another draft pick that we can use for something else down the line and all these things. So I think it would be interesting from the Warriors' perspective, because if they were to make that kind of deal, even if they did get a first-round pick from Cleveland as the draft compensation, it would be sort of saying, this year, we don't really care. And we're going to try to make the playoffs, but if we don't make the playoffs, it's not the end of the world. And we don't really think, and we do want to actually save some money, which I think Joe Lacob would get some blowback if you were to make this kind of deal, because you are so clearly taking a step back in the immediate term.
No, that makes sense.
You're scarily quiet.
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking about what you said, and I don't know if acquiring Kelly Oubre, Chris, do you think like he would stick with Cleveland after this season? Because he is, I don't know, I just don't see it happening. Like, I see him, especially playing for a team like Golden State, or even playing for a team like Phoenix, who was no slouch last year. Why would you want to stick with Cleveland? Why wouldn't you want to just test the market? Like,
you gotta let him design the uniforms.
I guess that's part of it.
Look, they need it. They need it.
They need it, but at the same time, Chris, is this just more so to get off Jetty Osman's contract or what?
I mean, that's probably part of it, right? That's probably not an insignificant part of it, because, like, I think, like, if you get a little bit out of the money and, like, figure it out, I think, like, that is sort of interesting. I think in terms of, like, cap space, if you think about it that way, like, the Cavs, like, aren't really ever going to be cap space team. So would you be willing to overpay a little bit to get Oubre in there, right? Like, would you be willing to overpay a little bit and give him more money, even if it's for like 1 or 2 years? Like, Oubre still could like hit the market again, you know? It's not that kind of thing. And like, there are going to be cap space teams next summer, but like, how many of them are going to be like significantly more attractive than Cleveland, right? Like, I just don't know. Like, next, it's sort of hard to know right now. And as Wes alluded to, I think smartly, we don't know what the cap is. We just saw what that meant for the NFL in terms of spending. Like, a lot of the really good players are getting paid, and then I think everyone else is probably gonna, you know, struggle a little bit, and there's not the same mechanics to be really creative with creating cap space for a 1 year window like there is in the NFL. So I think it's interesting. It's one of those things where I think you probably do some of the back channeling. I don't know who Kelly Oubre's agent is, but I'm sure like there's some way to get a hold of that agent and like poke around that a little bit, you know? I don't even know off the top of my head, like, who has caps for next year. This is where I really miss early bird rights. Jeff, the hell, man. Really screwing me on this. But, how many teams are going to have the caps to give him, like, more than the Cavs probably could? If they're doing this, and Drummond's gone and everything, and you're not eating bad money, it doesn't seem to me like they're going to be taking back bad money in the Drummond situation now. I think it's more, it just seems like it's heading towards a buyout more than a trade. Like, you're going to have a little bit of money where you could overpay a little bit and keep him if that's the way you want it to go. You'd have the option to do that to entice him to come play for the Cavs. You could do that if you or try to do that.
Yeah, the team I'd be looking at as far as a free agent suitor for Oubre would be the Knicks. They're going to have cap space, but again, we're talking about organizational questions about, all right, do you want to start trying to sign free agents, or do you want to keep hoarding cap space for, you know, 2 summers from now or whatever in regards to New York? The other thing, too, is with the Cavaliers, at some point you got to test this, right? At some point you have to make an acquisition, whether it's this Oubre deal or something similar to it. You have to try it because, to your point, Chris, you're not really in the market for the superstar free agents. You're going to have to sell these guys for a year or even just half a season on what it is that you're doing there. At some point, there's going to be the Cavaliers are going to be pushed to making some kind of deal like this and trying to prove their concept of the team and the culture and the organization that they're building in trying to capture one of these guys. So I agree. I think it's an interesting conversation to have on all fronts. Ultimately, if we're going to get back down to brass tacks here, boys, I think that maybe this is not the risk that the Cavaliers want to take at this moment, and maybe not the exact sort of compensation that the Warriors want in the right moment. It's really close, I think, to what both teams would want, but just a hair off from what both teams would need. And sometimes that's all it takes to have trade conversations, you know, not really materialize.
So what's the final structure here that we're going to, like, say, like, okay, this is where we sort of got to in this negotiation? Is it Oubre for Osman, Dotson, and then a pick? Is that where we're going?
Yeah, I would say probably a first-round pick, and I would imagine the protections would just be similar to the one that they sent to Oklahoma City, because that's the value for Oubre right now. So I would, you know, maybe a protected first future first-round pick. That would be sort of – and I still think, like, that might – and that's why I said that might be too much for Cleveland to give up, considering that you want to keep your draft picks. And it might not be enough for the Warriors, considering that they don't really have that much value for draft picks other than some sort of hypothetical trade down the line, because this is a team that needs help right now, right? They need upgrades on this roster for right now and for next season. And even though Osman is under contract for next season, I think he's a pretty clear downgrade from Oubre. And and if you're the Warriors, I think you just roll the dice on saying, you know what, Dotson's a nice bit player. The first-round pick is nice theoretically. Osman, we like his upside, but we have Kelly Oubre right now. We think that he could next season. We're confident that he could be one of our top seven players. We're not that we don't know that about Osman or Dotson or this first round pick. So we'd rather just roll the dice and see if we can re-sign Oubre.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, I do
think
too.
That's a good place to leave it. Are you sure we can't interest you in Andre Drummond?
They will trade you Chase Center if they can move back into Oracle for Andre Drummond.
Is that more of a fan take, or is that do you think the organization feels that way too?
Well, if you repay the bill for Chase Center, that $1.2 billion or whatever it was, then I think they would seriously have to have a conversation about it.
Dan Gilbert, Rocket Companies, let's cut them a rate.
Rocket Mortgage Beach House instead of Field House. There you go, folks.
All right, that's it for today's edition of Locked On Warriors. A special thanks to Chris and Evan for joining me. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, and say nice things about the show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at WGoldberg@BayAreaNewsGroup.com. If there is another team, another podcast that you specifically want me to do one of these crossover episodes with, that is the way to let me know. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and I'll see you here tomorrow morning.